Hi everyone, welcome to another one of our daily devos. We're continuing on in our study of the book of Judges. And so today's chapter is Judges chapter 12. We're going to read the whole passage together. So if you have a Bible on you, definitely encourage you to open that up. We're at Judges chapter 12. The men of Ephraim were called to arms, and they crossed to Zaphon and said to Jephthah, "Why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house over you with fire." And Jephthah said to them, "I and my people had a great dispute with the Ammonites, and when I called you, you did not save me from their hand. And when I saw that you would not save me, I took my life in my hand, and crossed over against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me?" Then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead struck Ephraim, because they said, You are fugitives of Ephraim, you Gileadites, in the midst of Ephraim and Manasseh. And the Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. And when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me go over," the men of Gilead said to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" When he said, "No," they said to him, "Then say, Shibboleth." And he said, "Sibboleth," for he could not pronounce it right. Then they seized him and slaughtered him at the fords of the Jordan. At that time, 42,000 of the Ephraimites fell. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died, and was buried in his city in Gilead. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and gave in marriage outside his clan, and 30 daughters he brought in from outside for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon the Zebulunite judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. Then Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried at Aijalon, in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons, who rode on 70 donkeys, and he judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died, and was buried at Pirathon in the land of Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. All right, so if you've been following along with the devos this week, you'll remember that Jephthah is this mighty warrior, and he has led Israel to victory over the Ammonites. And so at this point, you would think that peace would be upon the land and everyone would be happy. After all, they've defeated their enemies. But unfortunately, they're not at peace. For whatever reason, the men of Ephraim, one of the tribes of Israel, decide to take up their weapons and approach Jephthah angrily. And they essentially say to him, "Hey, why didn't you call us when you went into battle with the Ammonites?" And so they threatened to actually burn down his house. Now from our reading, it's not clear as to what actually happened. But apparently, according to Jephthah, he had called them. But they just hadn't responded. And therefore, Jephthah went into battle without the Ephraimites, and God gave the Ammonites into his hand. Now if any of this sounds familiar, or if you're getting any deja vu, it's because it is very similar to something we read just a couple weeks ago. Back in Judges 8, after Gideon had led Israel to victory against the Midianites, the men of Ephraim had done the very same thing by approaching Gideon and essentially saying, "Why didn't you call us when you went to fight against Midian?" It seems the people of Ephraim back in those days had some major issues with FOMO or something. But as we chew on today's passage, of course, I think we can make a point very similar to what was shared when we looked at Judges 8, that as followers of Jesus, it's important to know and remember that we are all part of the same body. When one part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. And when one part of the body mourns, we all mourn, as we read in 1 Corinthians. The Ephraimites were looking out for their own glory. And so rather than rejoicing at the victory that had been won, a victory that was brought about by God, by the way, not Jephthah or any other human leader or tribe or group, the Ephraimites instead grumbled and complained that they had missed out on receiving glory in this battle against the Ammonites. And in their grumbling, they even threatened great violence against Jephthah. So again, we can learn from this passage that while serving with others, we're going to face these kinds of things. We're going to face challenges. We're going to face situations where we are tempted to feel envious or to compare. You know, we're going to be tempted to allow those things enter our hearts and cause this type of division. But one encouragement, my word for us today, or at least one thing I want to share for us today, is that let's combat this temptation. Let's combat these things by resting securely in our identity in Christ as his sons and daughters, and know that we're all working together for God's kingdom. We're all one body coming together for his purpose. Now, again, I think that is a valuable lesson and one that, frankly, can be hard for us to do. But on top of this, I want to point out one more thing. In addition to this very important lesson, I want to address something regarding Jephthah's response to the Ephraimites. You see, after giving his explanation, we see in verse 4 that Jephthah then gathered up all his men and fought against Ephraim, ultimately killing 42,000 Ephraimites. That's 42,000 of his fellow Israelite brethren. And you can see even just how strategic it was. You sort of get this humorous picture of asking the people to say this word. It seems like the Ephraimites maybe had a different dialect, and so they couldn't say this word, Shibboleth. But even with that, it was a very strategic, intentional destroying of the people of Ephraim. And in the end, again, 42,000 of his fellow Israelite brethren are killed that day. You know, there is no denying that the Ephraimites were out of line. They shouldn't have had this attitude of selfish ambition. I mean, they should have just showed up to the battle when they were first asked. But even if they didn't, they definitely shouldn't have expressed this type of selfish ambition or whatever it was with the type of anger that they did. Right? So they were very much out of line. Jephthah had good reason to be upset. At the same time, Jephthah was also very much out of line. By retaliating also with anger, he contributed to further destruction and division within Israel. You know, the reality is that we'll all face conflicts with others, even within the church family, from time to time. In fact, I'm sure that all of us could probably think of something like this, where we feel wronged in some way, where we maybe don't feel understood, we feel judged in some way. The reality is we're all going to face that. And sure, even though we are all Christians, we're seeking to live for Christ, we're all sinners and therefore not yet perfect. But when we experience these types of conflicts or disagreements or hurts, let's be a people of love and grace. Again, if you've gone through anything like this before, you'll know how frustrating it is, how unfair it might seem to be hurt in this certain way or to be accused of things like Jephthah was here. But in those times, instead of retaliating, instead of trying to take matters into our own hands, or even instead of just holding on to and harboring this anger that can turn into bitterness, let's look to be like Christ, who, if you'll remember, endured unspeakable pain, great injustice, loss, betrayal, and yet chose to show love, forgiveness, and grace. In fact, it's because of his decision to love, to show grace, that we have been forgiven and have the life that we live now. If you're in the midst of this type of conflict, if you're finding yourself in this tension, or maybe you're holding on to bitterness or unforgiveness, I want to encourage us all today to bring it to Jesus. He knows exactly what you're going through. And again, yes, it might seem unfair to just let it go, but we see in this passage what retaliation or unforgiveness leads to. It just leads to further destruction. So rather than allowing anger and self-righteousness to sow further division, destruction, and despair, let's live lives of love and grace, which leads to redemption and restoration, and the further advancing of God's kingdom. So with that, let me pray for us to close. Lord, even if we're not going through it right now, I think all of us know, at least to some extent, what it feels like to be wronged, to be accused of something, or to face some kind of injustice, whether big or small. I think all of us know what that feels like. Lord, we also know, I imagine, that it's tempting to hold on to those things, to hold a grudge, to allow this anger to turn into a bitterness, Lord. But Father, we see in this passage that to respond in this way only leads to further division and destruction. And how tragic it is that this happened at all, but especially within your people. God, I pray that you would help us. In those moments, help us to look to you, to remember what you endured and what you went through, and seek to live according to the ways that you did. And so, Holy Spirit, we know that this can't happen just by our own willpower. Holy Spirit, fill us, help us in these ways. Help us to have this bigger picture understanding of the power of love and grace and bringing people together, of healing, and the importance of being one for the sake of your kingdom. God, thank you for this word. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.